first silver session titled The Foundation. And what I want to do is I literally want to go over apologetics in all, not just simply in this category, but kind of where it came from, and more importantly, what's the significance? So explain the meaning, the significance of apologetics. We're going to talk about what is apologetics. We're going to talk about the origin and history, past and present, kind of how it's evolved, as well as how it came into the Christian faith. So first, historical origin. Apologetic originates all the way back to ancient Greece. However, at this time, it was not known as apologetics, it was an apology. Plato, Aristotle, Socrates were experts in this form of communication. For those who know those Greek writers, they write these long, long dialogues. And they kind of just go back and forth. They're trying to defend this core question. I remember reading on, I think it was Socrates specifically, written by Plato, the question of what is piety? And they're just going back and forth of kind of how do we know what it is? And at the end of the book, Plato concludes, or Socrates says, we really have gotten nowhere. We start where we, you know, we've gotten back to where we started. I'm like, oh my goodness. Wasted all that reading time to find out. They couldn't discover it, right? And the idea of apologetics really comes back to the Greek word apologia, which is defined as a verbal defense. Okay, a verbal defense. Verbally defending whatever it may be. And at this time, it was defending what, you know, Socrates was just trying to figure out, what is this idea of piety? And for Christianity, it's the idea of defending what we believe. It's what we hold true, the doctrines and pillars of our faith, and verbally defending it. But before we get there, World Book Encyclopedia extends this idea of apology, the Greek form of it, by defining it as an explanation of the truth or justice of something, defense in speech or writing, apologia. An example is an apology for the Christian religion, and Thomas Paine's Common Sense is a famous apology for American independence and democracy. It's not labeled an apology, but it is because he's verbally defending something. He's communicating what he believes, which is American independence and democracy. All right, so apologetics is not just simply in this category, it's all over. And we'll see more of that as we continue on. We're going to look at the Christian adoption and calling. Now, truly, there was no point in history where God's people came together and said, all right, we're going to use apologetics to fight for what we believe. No, it was kind of just this natural byproduct of what was going on. In fact, really, the very fact of them protecting their beliefs is apologetics. The idea of them preserving the truth of God was apologetics. And that goes back way to Moses, when Moses was trying to tell the Israelites, hey, there's a God who loves you, and he wants to redeem you. And he had to defend that belief consistently with these stubborn-headed people, right? That was apologetics in a sense. It was verbally defending, showing the justice of something. And in this case, it was the redemption of Israel, of the Israelites. But I mean, it goes all over Scripture. It keeps going. Now, most of us are familiar, and I quoted it in the introductory part in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And you hear this verse all the time in speech debate. Tony, you probably can attest to this, right? It's everywhere. They always quote this verse, and you might get sick of it, but you know, don't get sick of it. It's probably one of the core verses that demonstrates what speech and debate is all about. I know Shane said, well, extemporaneous is the best category that'll prepare you for later in life. I'm verbally defending apologetics is better, okay? It is truly the best category because it teaches you something that goes beyond everything. You know, current events is good in the political realm. What about the everyday realm? What about when you're simply just doing dishes, washing laundry, going about school? And when you actually face friends who don't agree with you on the founding pillars of our faith in Scripture, that's where apologetics come in. Apologetics goes into the political realm as well. It goes all over. Apologetics is prevalent in what we hold. But 1 Peter says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. That word defense, according to Strong's, is 627 Greek word, which is apologia. Oh, it's in Scripture. The idea of that word, defense, is apologia. It's apologetics. We are called, it is our calling to do apologetics. All right? And I know it's nerve-wracking. I know it's like, well, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to reason my faith? This is what Silver Camp's all about. This is what the Silver Book's all about. We're going to key doctrines as the topics present and showing you how to research, how to know to defend and reason what you believe. With that in mind, consider this. Peter urges and instructs believers to be ready to defend, to be ready to give an answer for the hope that we cling to. And moreover, what is the attitude behind that? It's in meekness and fear, having a good conscience, so that the way we present it, anyone who reviles against us will be put to shame. Because we're showing the truth. We're being like Christ. How many times the Pharisees try to pin Christ in some corner so they go, ha-ha, we have something to blame you for. They couldn't. Because Christ was doing this in the most amazing, humble, and awesome attitude. He is the greatest example of an apologist. All right? There's so much to this. Now, apologetics defined. We kind of shown where it comes from, the historical origin, and how that's defined. We saw it in Scripture, but I remember listening to this sermon not too long ago and researching this for this lecture. It's called Introduction to Apologetics by William Lane Craig, an amazing man to look into. He's just an awesome debater. He's fought Richard Dawkins. Think of the atheist. He's debated him. I mean, he is really just an amazing man, a godly man. And in this lecture, he defines what apologetics is. He says, what is apologetics? Well, I think everybody knows that apologetics is not the art of saying, you're sorry that you're a Christian. No, apologetics is the art of making the other guy sorry that you're a Christian. Oh, no. No, actually, apologetics is a branch of Christian theology which seeks to provide a rational justification for Christianity's truth claims. In other words, apologetics is that discipline that answers, what are the rational grounds for believing that Christianity is true? See, the whole point is that too many times, we have this common belief against us as Christians that we just have this faith. We kind of just, oh, we believe in God. We don't know why, but we believe He's there and that Jesus came to die for us, right? It's kind of this common consideration, unfortunately, among the secular realm. But true apologetics shows that we're not just believing in a fantasy. We're not believing in some kind of dream. We're believing in what is reality. And there's a rational justification for what we believe. This is the core and the epitome of apologetics. And moreover, William Lane Craig goes over the classes of apologetics, how it splits off, how it branches off, and what arguments are commonly presented under them. So I wanted to quickly look at that. I found this just fascinating. He goes on to talk about how apologetics branches out. So there are two divisions to apologetics. All right. The first one is offensive. It's positive apologetics. Now, the second, however, is defensive. It's negative apologetics. Now, he goes on to define these terms. He talks about each one and what is under that specific category. So, number one, positive apologetics is defined as giving your case on why you believe Christianity is true. You're being on the offensive. You are fighting. You're saying, this is what I believe. Here's why, and my rational justification. Some categories that go under that is, for instance, is natural theology. And natural theology argues and shows evidence of the existence of God. It goes down to one of the core beliefs is that we believe there is a God. There is one God. He is the God of the Bible. It does not appeal to special revelation. It goes specifically in general revelation. It could be practiced by any monotheist, Jew, Christian, Muslim, and discredits atheism, agnosticism, pantheism, etc. So natural theology goes under the idea that we are proposing there is a God. We are fighting for this. We are being offensive. We are showing positive apologetics. Some areas that go under this is the cosmological, teleological, moral, and ontological. These are all big terms, but just know these are kind of just things that go under, showing pretty much that there is a creator, that there is truth, there is a moral law, and that there is a God, and by his characteristics, we know that he's there. There's just different areas and avenues, and we're not going to go over them in through these lectures, but just kind of give you a heads up that apologetics is much bigger than these 100 questions, but it's not overwhelming. It's something that we are called to consider and use in our everyday lives. But the second thing that goes under positive apologetics is Christian evidences, which just goes down into proving what the Bible says. It goes into biblical prophecy, Jesus' claims and miracles and resurrection in light of his claims. Just goes over some key doctrines that we talk about. Again, positive apologetics is all about being offensive. It's being on the front line. We're not defending. We're just showing what we believe. Okay? Now, the second part is defensive. Defensive apologetics. Negative. And it's attempting to rebut or at least undercut the raised objections. All right? So now what we're doing is we're going to listen to their objections. We're going to listen to what they say, and then we defend. Okay? See, apologetics sometimes we just think of it as the verbal defense, as the Greeks did in their apology. But there's more to it. There's the defense, and then there's the offense. But under defense, there's two different things. There's objections to God's existence, and there's objections to Christianity itself. All right? So we have under defending, we're trying to rebut or at least undercut the raised objections concerning God's existence and concerning claims of Christianity. That is negative apologetics. So the main arguments can be for specifically like the objections to God's existence. It's the problem of evil and the hiddenness of God. You know, he may be there, but he's not involved. You'll hear a lot of these and you'll actually find them within the topics. For Christianity, objections against that. Some main arguments are the challenge of biblical criticism, the problem of religious diversity, religious plurality. You know, how can there be Christianity to be true if there's so many different denominations? If this is truth, why are we so diverse? Why is it so plural? And these are just different things of how apologetics branches out. Again, this is all from Leland Craig. This isn't from me. I didn't think of this up. This is all from his research. But it's awesome because it just shows there's so much in this category. This really is a large category, but I don't want you to feel overwhelmed. This is something that is a lifelong process. And we'll talk about this more in later sessions. But bringing this down to the actual speech category, I want to go over the rules. Rules, Stowe and NCFCA code for competitors. All right, so now we kind of learned, here's apologetics in general. Okay, here's how it branches out. Here's how it's defined. Here's how it looks. But now we're going to minimize it to say, okay, but here's how Stowa and NCFCA bring it into this environment for a round. Bring it for you to be before three judges and how it works. So first, the speech category, the training grounds. The core of most clubs or the two leagues truly is contained in this category, seeing how it is the reflection of what our parents want for us to leave with and the ability to confidently stand, communicate, and reason of our faith. All right? The whole point of you guys doing apologetics in this category is to know those things. To confidently stand, to communicate, and reason your faith. Okay? This is such an awesome category. I love it so much. You all hear, you know, every coach has a passion for what they're teaching. But to me, this isn't just about teaching. This isn't just knowledge. This isn't just some category you do at a tournament. This is life. We are living to defend and be offensive with the faith that we hold to. This is apologetics. Francis Schaeffer, I read this book called The God Who's There, and I really recommend it for anyone who could pick up a copy. It's one of the most amazing books that talk about real-time apologetics, the problems, how to counter them, how the gospel fits in. But in this, he makes this amazing quotation, which is, it is unreasonable to expect people of the next generation in any age to continue in the historic Christian position unless they are helped to see where arguments and connotations directed against Christianity, against them as Christians, by their generations, are fallacious. Whole point, if we don't know why we believe what we believe and how what people say against us is false, our faith will cease. The whole point of what we're trying to discover and dig deep in is because we're supposed to stand strong on the rock of our faith. Too many Christians, when they hit college and high school, walk away. Because the schools are just telling them, oh, you just believe in blind faith. You have nothing to show why you believe what you believe. There's no good evidence. There's no truth. The whole point is, we're training you. We're getting there. So when people say those things, really, like what? Well, God doesn't exist. Why do you say that? And then you move on with what you learned in this category. The thing is, too often we rely on our pastor, rely on our church to give us the answers we need, or just to be fed, just to go to Sunday services. That's it. But God says, no, I want a personal relationship with you. And you go ahead and try me. Ask me these questions. I will bring you the answer. 2 Samuel 22:31 says, the word of the Lord is proven. God's way is perfect. And he's a shield to all those who trust in him. Shield? Isn't that defense? Verbal defense, maybe? Apologetics? Again, throughout all of Scripture, it's a lifestyle. But looking at the rules themselves in this category, I kind of had some fun where I'm thinking, I want to summarize these rules to make it just easy. I really recommend for all of you to go read the rules, but here are the 10 commandments of apologetics. I come back from research with the two tablets. All right, summarized from the rules, it's just kind of just how it works. So number one, when you walk into the room, you may have your Bible and box of 4x6 index cards, no outside sources besides those which you have typed and written on your cards, and also no electronic devices. Okay? So when you walk into your room, the only thing you can bring with you is your Bible and your box of cards. That's it. Nothing else. Everything else should be pre-prepared on those cards. So you see the significance of research, all right? It's very critical that you work in this category. We'll talk more about that in a later session.
You can also have a pen or pencil.
Well, okay, obviously you can have pen and paper.
It makes it sound like you can't have, but yeah.
I'm talking like more like sources and evidence and things like that. It's your Bible and your box, okay? That's all there is. Now, secondly, when you speak, when you get up to talk, it's only you and the cards. That's it. Nothing else can be taken up with you. All right, you can't take your Bible up with you. You can't take your box up with you. It's the 4x6 index cards you feel like you need for your speaking. That's it. All right, it's not that bad, too. We want to challenge you to work hard in your at your home. We want to challenge you to get those cards ready to where all you need is those cards. You just pick them up. Oh, yeah, I remember working on that for 2 hours. Here we go. All right, we want you guys to be prepared. The third commandment is that when you speak, no. During a round, you shall be given 3 random topics. That was commandment number 2. And of them, you shall select one to prepare a 6-minute speech for 4 minutes of prep time. I already glossed over this in the introduction to the Silver Program in Apologetics. Really, you walk into a room, you introduce yourself. Hello, I'm Luis Garcia. I believe I'm your such and such speaker. And your judges will either be ready for you or they'll need you to wait a little bit longer. And if they're ready for you, they'll say, okay, go ahead and draw your topics. And you'll see this table with all these thin sheets of paper that have the questions printed on them on the bottom. They don't want you to see it because you're supposed to pick them randomly. You pick 3, you go sit down, they'll start your prep time. You pick 1, and you prepare 4 minutes of prep time for a 6-minute speech. Okay? That's apologetics. It's kind of how it's limited in this environment. The fourth commandment is speak from the topics. One of the rules specifies you can't, from those 3, not like them and then pick another topic that you do have. Okay? From those 3, that's what you're given. You can't choose any others, all right? So speak from the topics. But the next thing is state the topic. In your speech, you need to clearly tell the judges what you were talking about, okay? So in the midst of the speech, you'd be giving your introduction, catching their attention, making them laugh, however you do it. And then right before you give your thesis and begin your speech, you say, well, today I'll explain the meaning and the significance. Finish the topic. You need to state the topic as it is written on that piece of paper, so that they know what you're talking about. They can write that down and move on with their ballot. Okay, so the next thing is stay on topic, all right? You could say, okay, we're going to explain the meaning and the significance of the justice of God, but, you know, I want to talk about God's grace, all right? You got to be careful there. You want to stay on what is being asked of you. Now, it's not wrong to go off a little bit, but make sure it's off within the realm. Like, if, for instance, on those two, if you say, to understand God's justice, we see a result of grace. You see how it's still tied and linked to the topic? You can do that. You can totally do that. But make sure you don't talk about grace the whole time and never mention justice. Okay? So make sure you speak from the topics, you state the topic, and then you stay on topic. All right? These are strong commandments to remember that will get you far in apologetics. The next thing is to give a presentation that is an original work using scripture, outside sources, and analysis. Okay? You can't just pull up an article that happens to be talking about that topic and just speak the whole time saying, well, here's what William Lane Craig says about this. And that's all you say. All right? Yeah, that was some great wisdom, but you're not William Lane Craig. I want to hear what you have to say. All right? Make sure it's an original work and make sure you use scripture, outside sources, and analysis. But again, we're going to go more into this later of what all those terms mean and how they look. But just know, those are the key elements of a speech. The next thing, the 8th commandment, is cite your sources, okay? Don't just start reading into quotations. One thing, too, also, is I have this friend who was developing, it was much in his early years, I don't know if he still does it now, but when he gave his apologetics, he actually had his full speech typed on the card. It wasn't an outline, it was like every word for word of what he would say. But the thing was, when you were listening to him, you didn't know if it was his words or he was quoting someone, because you could tell he's reading off the card. You kind of hear the difference. You want to make sure it's like an outline. We'll talk more about this later, about the difference between having it as a crux and a card. But the key note is, when you give it, make sure you say, this is from Francis Schaeffer in his book, The God Who's There. You don't have to say the page number, just say the author at least. And if you know the book, give the book. Okay? Another key thing on citing your source is when you say someone's name that's not familiar, like for instance, Ryan Dobson, just give some kind of credibility. So he's not some person that you happen to know or some guy on the street. Okay? You want to say the theologian Ryan Dobson, or even better, if you can give a book name that he wrote or where that quote's coming from, that'll help give their credibility. You want to give credible sources. So make sure you cite your sources. The next thing is to own your own box. All right? Own your own box. During a tournament, box sharing is not permitted. Okay? So you can't be, oh, quickly, take this box. It's your turn now. No. It's your box. It's your time. So make sure that this is your box that God's been working with. Apologetics is kind of like this parallel relationship that helps you grow more and more intimate into knowing what you believe and to knowing your Savior and what He has for all people over this earth. Okay, so own your own box. No box sharing. The last commandment is in your box, you may have prepared cards for the topics to use as you speak. You may also have extra blank cards in your box to write further notations during your prep time. So don't come with a box that's all blank thinking that you have to write a full-on 6-minute speech in 4 minutes with no outside sources that you can bring, okay? This is personal research. This is the time to go home, work on these cards, and when you come to tournament, those cards can be fully typed out, ready to go, all right? Those are the 10 commandments. Now, are there any questions on apologetics, those commandments? We clear? All right. Awesome. This is